Is there anybody in our audience today that doesn't know who that is? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Anybody not know who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Don't be shy. You know? Okay. We're honoring the appearance day of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's like Christmas, you know? Like that. So, Gaura refers to the complexion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His complexion was Gaura, or golden, like Radharani, his golden complexion. And Purnima is the full moon. He appeared on a full moon. In fact, there's a nice painting that I forgot to put here. It was not only a full moon, but it was a full lunar eclipse full moon. Special. And from an astrological point of view, or astronomical point of view, a solar eclipse is inauspicious. A lunar eclipse is very auspicious. And do you know what people do, according to scripture, when there's a lunar eclipse? They take sacred bath in the sacred river, the Ganges, and loudly call out the names of Hari, the Supreme Lord. That was part of the plan. That Lord Chaitanya appeared exactly at the time when all the people of Navadvip, and there were a lot of people in Navadvip, came during the lunar eclipse and took their sacred bath, half submerged, calling out very loudly the names of the Supreme Lord. Tumultuous sound, according to Chaitanya Bhagavat, reverberating in the skies like a rock concert or something, without amplification, just loud, sounding, resounding call of the Lord's holy name. And he descended. That was exactly the cause. But he was inducing them to create auspiciousness through the chanting of the holy name so that his appearance could take place. I was in Mayapur one time during Gaura Purnima when there was also a lunar eclipse. And those of you that have been to Mayapur recently, it's now very developed and lots of tourists and all kinds of people. But in 74 or 75, tells you how old I am, a full lunar eclipse. And there were, you know, at that time, a little straggling of people coming and going in Mayapur. But on that Purnima, the lunar eclipse Purnima, there were a zillion people. I mean, more than a million people. A zillion people. And I don't know where they all came from. The heavenly planets or somewhere they came from. And as the lunar eclipse was taking place, the sound, we were transported, I felt, transported to that event of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. And you know how it is in India when people want to get somewhere and somebody's in their way? Doesn't matter that somebody's in their way, they just push. And the people that were at the edge of the river got it out to the, you know, further out into the river. And then there was more people and more people, and there was a zillion people trying to get in the river during the lunar eclipse. I thought, someone's going to drown. Maybe someone, I don't know. Very dangerous. So I got in and got
quickly.
Yikes. But the spiritual auspiciousness, aside from the pushing, was just incredible. The lunar eclipse itself is auspicious. The Ganges is auspicious. The chanting of the holy name is auspicious. And on that very moment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, the summit of auspiciousness, one can only imagine. We got pretty close to what that might have been like. And on that Purnima, Gaura, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared. Now something like 528 or 29 years ago. Which was something like, you know, in the Western world, when they were still trying to figure out if the earth was flat or round. You know, Christopher Columbus got in his boats and wanted to find the trade route to India to get spices. But he thought, maybe there's something in between. Maybe it's the world is round, and he found the world is round. Big celebration for Europe. And in India, the personality of Godhead was making his appearance. A little contrast of cultures. And Maha Mahotsav. Utsav means festival. And Ma Mahotsav is a great festival, and Maha Mahotsav is the really big one. Big, big festival in honor of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's a painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, holding in his right hand Japamala, chanting beads. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his functions, one of his many, many functions, was inaugurating the Yuga Dharma, the primary means of achieving spiritual perfection through just what we were doing, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And there are different ways for chanting of Krishna's holy name. This picture shows him holding his beads, but in a meditative way, calling Krishna's holy name. Because through the chanting of Krishna's holy name, well, Lord Chaitanya's teachings tell us, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, one's heart becomes cleansed of all the contaminations of material existence since time immemorial. That's a lot of contamination. But the holy name is so powerful. Mahadavagni Nirvapanam. The blazing fire of material existence is extinguished. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. The white lotus of good fortune unfolds just from the chanting of the holy name, and so forth. That the glories of the holy name were revealed through the teachings of Mahaprabhu and through the personal example of Mahaprabhu. And he gave that same opportunity to the whole world. For that reason, he descended to, you can say, disinfect or to cleanse, to purify this dark age of Kali, in which, according to Vedic scripture, is the most difficult of all times to do anything, especially spiritual anything. So he made access to that spiritual elevation very easy through the chanting of the holy name. And this is a painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the first half of his life. He appeared in Navadvipa. We're going to see a photograph of his place of appearance in a moment. But he lived as a young Brahmin boy, born of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata. And he then lived for some years as a young teacher, and then, as is the culture, he followed by his lila, he followed the culture and became a householder. And thus his hair and long garland down to his knees, and his arms were also uniquely very long, stretched down. I mean, sitting down I can touch my knees, but his hands went to his knees standing up. Try it. See how far your hands go down. So when he raised his arms with his golden form that was 7 feet tall, and Bengalis aren't 7 feet tall. No basketball players in Bengal. They're all... So his dancing and chanting in ecstasy of love of God, just to see his beautiful transcendental fully spiritual form, was in itself an experience, transcendentally empowering and amazing. Here is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At least this is the temple at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The tall spiring structure was created by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of our founder Acharya of ISKCON, on the order of his father to establish this nice temple. And I believe we have photographs of the deities inside the temple. Well, this is in the back of the courtyard, underneath a neem. I'm speaking slowly because there are some people, just a few of us that aren't from India, and we're not familiar with neem trees. So, neem is very purifying. It's medicinal. It's like an antiseptic. It works like an antiseptic, but it's also considered auspicious, because there's Mother Sachi with Nimai on her lap, her son. But prior to the birth of Nimai, she had 8 children that were died shortly after they were born, or miscarriage, one or the other. So the fact that his elder brother Vishwarup and now Nimai survived was very glorious. The name Nimai, so he later became known as Nimai Pandit, Nimai because he was born beneath the neem tree. Name given by one of the eldest members of the Vaishnava community there, Advaitacharya, and his wife, Sita. So she liked that name, Nimai. May this child be protected. And his father, Jagannath Mishra, amongst the community of Brahmanas in Navadvip, because at that time Navadvip was Harvard or Yale or MIT, or it was a place of high learning, and everywhere there were other groups of devotees or persons residing in Navadvip, but primarily it was recognized throughout the land as a seat of high learning. So many, many, many Brahmanas resided in Navadvip. And amongst them, a few, unfortunately, very few, were devotees of the Lord. Others were materialistic kind of Brahmanas, smarta Brahmanas and ritualistic Brahmanas and really interested in material elevation Brahmanas, that kind of Brahmana. But Jagannath Mishra was a devotee of the Lord, and amongst them considered very learned, most respected, and Nimai appeared as the son of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. Here's the family tree. Here's Nimai Pandit down here and his elder brother Vishwarup, and his father Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. And Jagannath Mishra's father was Upendra Mishra. And Upendra Mishra's father was Madhava Mishra, like that, and these are their brothers and sisters. And in his line, his maternal, the Satyamata's father, so his maternal grandfather was also very respected members of the educated community. So he was family-wise. It's a lila. But his family was very much respected in all of Navadvip. And he appeared as their son, Nimai Pandit. Now, who is Lord Chaitanya outside of ISKCON? Some people may have heard of Nimai Pandit or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he became a sannyasi, he became known as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That was the sannyas name given to him by Keshava Bharati. Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Persons may consider him a sannyasi. Some persons may consider him a saint among sannyasis. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you'll see from some scripture references I'm going to present to you, he's not just a sannyasi or a saint among sannyasis, but his position is very special. He is Krishna himself. What? Krishna himself? Appearing just 530 years ago? Who knows about Krishna himself who appeared 530 years ago? Well, now you do. And I'll show you the scriptural, some of the thousands of scriptural references that indicate this. And the author of the biography, one of the many biographies of Lord Chaitanya's life, Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes the following. It's a very nice verse. Practically must speak the verse on Gaur Purnima. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Asmat Ekat Manava Pi Bhuvi Pura Deha Beda Katao Tao. What was that? Radha Krishna, just like on the altar, Radha Krishna, or the painting or the photo above the altar, Radha Krishna. They appear eternally in two forms, Pura Deha Beda Gatau Tau, Radha and Krishna. Although appearing eternally in two forms, they're one entity, as sun and sunshine are one entity. Has anybody seen sunshine ever without the sun? No such thing. Has anyone seen the sun without sunshine? No such thing. The sun and the sunshine are one thing. They're inseparable. So similarly, Radha and Krishna are one entity, although eternally manifest in two forms, the energy and the energetic, just like the sunshine and the sun. The energy and the energetic are one, although with Radha and Krishna, in two forms, eternally. That's the first half of that nice verse. And the second half indicates that that one entity in two forms manifests as the same one entity in one form. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, in the bhava, the mood of ecstasy, and the duty, the luster, of Radha. What's Radha's luster, complexion? She's golden. Radha's golden, and Krishna is sham. So, golden, blackish complexion go nice together. So, Radha complexion and Radha mood or bhava of love toward Krishna, Krishna assumed that form of one entity with one form for a purpose. It's very, very deep down, and that is Krishna desired to experience the love that Radha has for him. But he couldn't. Although he's the Supreme Lord, he can do anything. He couldn't. Why? Because the abode of love only can experience love towards the object of love, and he's the object of love. So in order to experience the love of Radha, he had to become the abode of love. The terms in Sanskrit are ashraya and vishaya. Ashraya is the abode of love, the one who is the subject, feeling love towards the beloved object. So he became the lover of Krishna, although he's Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very mystical, very deep and profound. And one day, if you haven't already read this nice, beautiful explanation found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll have the opportunity someday to read. So I'm just summarizing. Krishna himself, the same Radha and Krishna, actually, in the luster of Radha and the mood of Radha, displaying love for Krishna. So those of you that are familiar with Bhagavad Gita, almost everybody is familiar with Bhagavad Gita, the concluding instruction of Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is Sarva dharmam parityaja mamikam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masuchaha. Krishna instructs, my dear Arjun, sarva dharmam parityaja, all variety dharma parityaja, abandon them or subordinate them to this one principle. Which is that one principle? Mam ekam sharanam. Mam ekam sharanam. Complete surrender unto me. So Krishna taught, the conclusion of Krishna's teachings, surrender unto me. But who can teach how to surrender unto Krishna as good as Krishna? So Krishna taught how to surrender unto him. By appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here's how you surrender unto him. In the superlative way, in the mood of Radha, in her love for Krishna, in her surrender unto Krishna, in her perfectional stage of Mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy of love. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So although one form, he's these two entities, Radha Krishna, in one form. And then he appeared and performed wonderful pastimes, attracting the hearts of all the residents of Navadvip. And then in course of time, as he accepted sannyas and began traveling throughout all of the India, South India, West India, North India, back to Puri, giving his association freely. We were discussing this a little bit on Friday evening of how he expanded that love, pure love for Krishna, by contacting others like electricity. And then they in turn contacted others who electrified others like electricity, who then contacted others who electrified others like electricity, and just like electricity is spread by contact with one object that's electrified with another object, that becomes then electrified and contacts another object. So like that, he spread love of God throughout all of the land and made his residence primarily in Jagannath Puri. So we offer this prayer, those of you in your homes that not only are vegetarian, but you offer the foods that you prepare first to Krishna before accepting. There's some prayers that we recite when we make those offerings, and this is one of them, the prayer to Lord Chaitanya. So let's recite it together.
Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratvishe Namaha.
We pray to Lord Chaitanya. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing what no one else has ever given, pure love for Krishna, and it's a specific quality of love for Krishna, Braja Prema, love for Krishna as found in the land of Vrindavan. Very special kind of love, transcendental love, intimate love, where the residents of Vrindavan are so intimately united with Krishna, they forget he's the personality of Godhead. They can't even consider that he's the personality of Godhead. Their intensity of love is so strong. That's all that matters to them. Not who is he. Just their love for him, that's all. This is a murti of Mahaprabhu that Prabhupada kept in his room in Navadvip, and next to his murti of Mahaprabhu is his spiritual master. These are the driving forces of our founder Acharya, his spiritual master and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because on the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he risked his life, he gave his all and all to carry out the will of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entrusted to him by his spiritual master Bhakti Siddhanta, to take this holy name and the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and give to the whole world. So we're deeply indebted to Mahaprabhu and Bhakti Siddhanta for that mandate to Srila Prabhupada. Now here's, I'm going to very quickly go through some of, there's like thousands of scriptural references that indicate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. I'm just going to cover a few of them. This is the sampler. So here's from the 11th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Trisha Krishnam Sangos Pangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayair Yajantihi Sumedasaha. The translation reads, in the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the names of Krishna, although his complexion is not blackish. He is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants. They have guns and bombs and not those kind of weapons. His weapons were Radanga and cartels. Those were his weapons. He didn't use them to hit people with the cartels or bang them with the drum. He performed kirtan with those weapons, the weapon of the holy name. And so here are the five principal associates with Lord Chaitanya in the middle, and by his side, to his right, Lord Nityananda, his first expansion in the mood of the servant of Lord Chaitanya, and the elder, he's got a nice beard, Advaita Acharya, who is also in the same category Vishnu Tattva, and Advaita Acharya, well, so many things to say about Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya was one of the principal causes of Lord Chaitanya's descent, because he was forlorn over the materialistic condition that the Brahmana community had deteriorated to. They were using their brahminical prowess and knowledge for material advancement only, and forgetting completely the ultimate goal of life, to come to the stage of loving God. And he was so disturbed to see this. He called loudly for the Supreme Lord to descend. So he descended. And Gadadhar and Srivas in the Panchatattva. So, for those of you that are a little new, when we have kirtan or chanting, we start with mantras that are off Prabhupada, and then we say this Panchatattva mantra. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda means all of you. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Who are devotees because of these five. And especially this one, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he then engaged others in the congregational chanting of the holy name throughout, starting with the villages in the surroundings of Navadvip. Navadvip was the capital, like, you know, the city, and these were the suburbs or little villages around the city. And this simple village life of the families there, they were so moved by the ecstatic exhibition of love of God. In time, the Sankirtan of Mahaprabhu began to swell, and hundreds and then thousands and tens of thousands of Vaishnavas, moved by the loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, the ecstatic chanting of Krishna's holy name, began to spread throughout all the land. Then there was an occasion when Mahaprabhu was confronting the local Muslim ruler, Chankazi, because Chankazi came out personally and broke one of the mridangas, saying, "Stop this kirtan, or you're in big trouble." Civil disobedience, before there was Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu long ago established his civil disobedience movement and brought the Sankirtan performers right to the doorstep of Chankazi. And there were tens of thousands of angry Bengalis. Those of you from India know what that means. So Chankazi hid under his bed, prayed for his life. And Lord Chaitanya sent a messenger to go ask the Kazi to come and speak with him. "Don't worry, no one will harm you." And no one harmed him. And so they had some discussion on spiritual topics. Topics from the Quran and topics from the Vedas. And the significance of the chanting of the holy name. That it's universal. People from the Quran followers, they also chant the holy name of Allah. And we're chanting the name of Krishna. It's the same. So please don't discontinue the chanting of the holy name. Chankazi disclosed reluctantly. Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Why, when we were doing our civil disobedience through all the marketplaces of Navadvipa, the day before, You had said you would bring all your military and bring harm to everybody if any more chanting took place in Navadvip. And you didn't do anything. Why you didn't do anything? I said, I'll tell you later. No, you can say. These are all friends. So he said, well, last night I had a dream. And in my dream, this roaring figure, half man, half lion, pounced on my chest with his nails, started ripping open my chest. I was very afraid. And he was roaring and roaring, and how can you do this? Stop the chanting of God's holy name. I'll destroy you. I was very fearful. And then he said, but I'll spare you this one time, but never again. That's why I didn't. And he opened his shirt and showed on his chest there were the nail marks of Lord Nrisimhadev. So I declare from this day forward, during my rule and any descendants from me who may also come to rule throughout the whole of Navadvip, the chanting of the holy name can go on without restriction. This is my declaration. And so it was. For generations, and certainly during Mahaprabhu's time, the resounding sound of the chanting of Krishna's holy name took place throughout all of Navadvip. And Navadvip's a big place. Navadvip means nine islands. And so to cover Navadvip, as just took place, it takes 7 days. There are 10, my dear devotees, 10,000 Vaishnavas from ISKCON, what to speak of whatever the other Gaudiya Math temples did. 10,000 devotees performed this Navadvip parikrama. You know how many chapatis that is? To feed them all, and how many pots of rice and sabjis, and in a different place 3 times a day times 7 times 10,000. Oh, what a busy kitchen they had. And can you imagine the impact upon the residents of Navadvip to see 10,000 Vaishnavas wearing tilak, and, well, at least the men, shaved heads, and dhoti and sari from lands all over the world, coming to Navadvip, chanting resoundingly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And we don't have long arms like Lord Chaitanya. Could you imagine the impact? This is the result of the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that 530 years later we're celebrating. That very visit to the holy places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes was established by the associate of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, because he took one of the followers of Lord Chaitanya, Jiva Goswami, on this path. And then it was chronicled, it was recorded where he went and where the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya were. And exactly according to that indication, Bhaktivinod Thakur instructed Bhakti Siddhanta, his son, create every year a visit to those holy places exactly as Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami. And Bhakti Siddhanta, as he did that, our founder Acharya did that. And I remember the first time we did it, it was maybe something around 100 devotees. And fast forward over time, it's now 10,000 devotees when the temple of Vedic planetarium opens, what's it going to be like? Who knows? How many thousands? 20,000? 30,000? 50,000? You know, the land's going to sink or something. Who can say? They had to have 6 different parties. One in Hindi, one in Bengali, one in Russian, one in English, and one where you could just have your own translator. You know, Chinese and Swahili and whatever else there is out there. Amazing. This is the influence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who along with his resounding congregational chanting of the holy name would also, at times like this painting portrays, enter into a mood of Radharani in her separation from Krishna, and tears would flow from his eyes, not just like trickle down his cheeks, but like syringes go squirting hot tears and feelings of separation from Krishna, in ecstasy of love of God. Here's some additional scriptural references and a wind-up. This is from Chandogya Upanishad. Amongst the Upanishad, this Chandogya Upanishad is especially revered. And in the Chandogya Upanishad it says, in the middle of that lotus city, that's Navadvip, is a place called Mayapur. And in the middle of Mayapur is a place called Antardvip. That's the middle of the 9 islands. Antardvip. That place is the home of Lord Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the Garuda Purana. In the first period, or Sandhya, of Kali Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will assume a golden form. First, he will be the husband of Lakshmi, his first wife, or second wife, Lakshmi Priya. And then he will be a sannyasi who stays near Lord Jagannath at Puri. Garuda Purana. From the Mahabharat, from the Vishnu Sahasranam section, quote, in his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with a golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees. And Nrisimha Purana says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear again in the Kali Yuga. His form will be golden. He will delight in chanting the Lord's holy names, and his name will be Chaitanya. And there's many, many, many more. Sometimes the question arises, maybe among some of you who are not so familiar with Lord Chaitanya, well, is this like a sectarian idea where they say, you know, because I've heard that one before, so-and-so is God. Maybe it's one of those. So in spiritual circles, the rule is, when some statement is made, it must be supported by Scripture. And if it's not supported by Scripture, it's not accepted. But the Scriptures tell us things, so we can use things. Sure. That's what that little exercise is. There's one devotee in the Potomac congregation who he runs a weekly gathering at his home, a Bhakti Vriksha gathering. And he put together for his group that gathers at his home in advance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance something like 80 slides with the quotes supporting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. And then he has different categories and sections and subsections of those sections. It was a very nice academic exercise. But I'm sparing you from that long presentation. Although it's compelling and convincing. Just take my word for it. Like these quotes we just showed, so many, 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 from different angles, making it very clear that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And he's come in this age of Kali to deliver the chanting of the holy name as the primary means for achieving spiritual perfection. Now, today, when Prabhupada brought this under the order of his spiritual master, brought these teachings to the West in the mid-60s. In fact, the first formal organization was established in 1966. In fact, we'll be observing the 50th anniversary of the founding of ISKCON in 2016. 50th anniversary celebration is important for any organization. So, my dear devotees, especially our experienced devotees, put on your thinking cap, run up your antennas, think of different, discuss with others, what are the ways that we might and could and should make the people of Greater Chicago aware of who is Lord Chaitanya? And who is Srila Prabhupada? And what is ISKCON? Because they may not know so much. But 50th is a milestone. It's very significant. And we want them to know who is Prabhupada. We want them to know who is Lord Chaitanya. Because today, there are lots of people that have kirtan. Maybe you're not so aware of it. But especially in the yoga circuit, is really popular. Not only popular, people pay because there are certain popular ones, and they you know, like going to a recital of something. We don't do that, but we have people just come and have kirtan. Where did it come from? It came from Lord Chaitanya. Now many people don't know what it is; they just like it. It feels good. It's experiential. And people that are seeking spirituality want a spiritual experience. When they experience kirtan, it feels good. And so they go to kirtan. They don't have a clue what it is. So we would like them to have a clue what it is. And appreciate the person from whom that chanting of the holy name was brought. Or made, because it was from the scripture. Mahaprabhu didn't just pull it out of the air. It's found in scripture, but he mined that process from the scripture and personally engaged in chanting and personally inspired others and induced others to chant. That's how my life in Krishna consciousness began. I was a student in a university and was passing through the student union one evening, and Prabhupada was in an auditorium. There was a whole crowd of people. I didn't know who he was or what the whole thing was. I just went inside. What's going on in here? It's like a whole bunch of people. And I got infected with the pure holy name, chanted from the lips of a pure devotee. I didn't know what it was. But look at me. 45 years later, still chanting Hare Krishna, just from that's how it started. And so we would like, I mean, obviously one of the things that we could do for the 50th anniversary celebration is lots of congregational chanting of the holy name. Where the public can find out, with banners that say, you know, 50th anniversary of what? Of, you know, the founding of the Hare Krishna movement in the West. our founder Acharya, bringing that which later spread around the world. And literally, I mean, we talk, I'll just say this from a first-hand experience point of view. We speak about this is an international society of Vaishnavas. But when I attended that festival of 1,000 leaders from all around the world, not, you know, what to speak of the 10,000 that came later to go on the parikrama, the leaders, just the 1,000 leaders, you know, you name the color and it was there, you name the language and it was there, you name the, you know, the complexion and culture and the, you know, background, and it was awesome. The diversity of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Wow. I'll just share one thing. We were, as GBC members, we were encouraged, so I did it, to not just go sit with your friends, but go sit with people you don't know, because there's all these leaders. And we want the leaders to meet the GBC. So I sat down at one table, and it was these devotees from Africa. And they were really happy that I sat down with them, and they didn't know me, and I didn't know them, and we started getting to know each other. And I said, are you all from the same place? Do you know each other? They said, well, not from the same place, but we know each other. So how do you know each other? Because we come together. I'm from Rwanda, and I'm from this place and that place, and we have like regional festivals. We come together and we have kirtan. And during those festivals with kirtan, we get to know each other. It's fantastic. And what's it like? You know, is it in Africa, are people think, wow, kirtan is nice, and the prasadam is really good, and so it's people can become readily attracted? Or do people go, oh, that's very strange, it's too foreign to us? Or, you know, what's it like? You know, like, you get the idea. Just coming together to experience, you know, the heart of the devotees that have so many different backgrounds. And so I share with them, just as you know each other from coming together for your regional festivals, what if regularly we came together like this all around the world? And then we get to know each other and build relationships and friendships and chant the holy name together. I said, wow, that'd be great. I said, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. You get the idea. And so on the 50th, we can do the same thing. Go out and, you know, meet people we don't know and say, you know, chant and be happy. And we can say so many other things, because the richness of the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu flowing from the chanting of the holy name is amazing. We're not very good at letting people know those amazing things, but it's a great opportunity. I wasn't planning to speak about this, but here I am. Start thinking about it. Not just, oh, that was nice, Maharaj, you said these nice things, and then out the other ear. Think about it. Think about especially those devotees who have been practicing for so long. Think about it. Discuss with others. And, you know, form some ideas and some plans. And then invite other people. Hey, how'd you like to participate in this and that and the other thing? And next thing you know, people know about the holy name that didn't know about the holy name. And they start to know the Vaishnavas who are chanting the holy name and go, wow, you're really nice people. Where have you been? You know, you get the idea. And, oh, who is Lord Chaitanya? And, oh, who is Prabhupada? And so forth. Okay? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Any discussion? Looks like we have the drama getting ready. Is the drama ready? Who is the director? Huh? Is it ready? Are the show's ready? Okay. Okay. guess what? It's a drama. Who's our MC? Okay, questions and answers. Any comments or questions, anyone? While the children are pouring in. Wow, what a big drama group. I don't think we'll have questions and answers. Yes.
When Mahaprabhu was born,
it is said that there were some marks on his body which identified him as a Supreme Personality.
Yeah, they're
those marks.
It's not exactly marks. It's bodily symptoms, according to scripture. The children are going to keep making noise because they're children. According to scripture, there are 36, I can't remember the number, auspicious symptoms, bodily symptoms. And the details of them I can't remember, honestly. One of them is the length of his arms. Another is the features of his eyes. Another is his forehead. So he had, you know, a very broad forehead. Marks on his hands and on his feet. Those physical marks, but other bodily symptoms, were found in the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although, when he was just a little baby, he wasn't really tall like when he was later. But the symptoms were there and identified by the qualified astrologer who knew that science. And so it was understood by the astrologer, this isn't an ordinary person, this is a great soul. Not necessarily the personality of Godhead, but the marks of a great soul. But specifically the markings on his hands and his feet are specific to the personality of Godhead. And I haven't learned that science, although I've seen the drawings of them many times. Okay? Yes? Loud.
Maharaj, you mentioned about those people who do kirtan in like commercial way.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, like, aren't they also popularizing the holy name in some way?
Are they popularizing the holy name in some way? Well, they're commercializing the holy name in some way. But what's important, so yes, in one sense, there is benefit even in that kind. However, what's really important for those who know what the holy name is to explain what the holy name is. Not just, you know, a nice sound. That when you sing this nice sound with musical instruments, it feels good. You feel peaceful and relaxed and happy. Okay? We should explain. You know, in a pleasing, appropriate manner. That's our service, along with those who are popularizing the holy name. And it's not that all of them have a fee. Are we ready over there?
Yes, sir.
Drama's ready. Okay, I'll just say this one last thing. I mentioned this while I was here already, but in the New York temple, there's a lot of devotees that are engaged in giving Krishna consciousness, starting with kirtan and then things at yoga studios. And there's a lot of yoga studios in New York. And I know, so I just met one of those persons who was a yoga teacher because they were in the seat next to me on the way from New York to Chicago. But so there's a lot of people that are learning the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through the association of ISKCON devotees. And many of those people that know, and many of those people that don't know, because they just heard kirtan in the yoga studios, they come to our temple, Radha Govinda Mandir, at around 8 o'clock. Because normally the class, it's an evening program, the class ends at 8 o'clock. And then everybody goes downstairs to take prasadam. Well, not everybody, because those people just go into the temple room for kirtan. They don't even go downstairs for prasadam. That's really unusual. But they like kirtan. And Ananta and Achyuta Gopi and others lead kirtan, and it goes on from 9 o'clock till midnight. And the temple room is packed. And there's no fee. But boy, do they like kirtan. And boy, the kirtan gets going and going and going and going. And then below, you know, the kirtan singers are so good. No wonder they come. And then I think they have to, like, get a shoehorn and get everybody out the door at midnight. Because they would stay all night. They love kirtan. I don't know about work the next day, but they love kirtan. So those people also need to learn what is the holy name. What is it about this holy name that makes it so special, besides it feels good? It's experientially nice. So therefore the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are very important, along with the chanting of the holy name. And that's part of our function, your function, my function. Explain. Okay, we're ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, take it away.